Amen, amen. I'm excited because today we are in our last message of this series, Tapped In, y'all. And I'm going to let you guys know that this message today is, if there was like a heartbeat message, like if you cut me, I ooze this out, it's this message right here. This message is one I've been sitting on for the past few months, been praying into it. I'm going to talk more about it as we get into the message. But this, in many ways, is the reason why our church exists. And so these past few weeks, we've been talking about being tapped into God's presence and being tapped in with God's people. Last week, we heard the message from Pastor Eric about being tapped into God's power. And today, we're gonna lean into that. What do we do now coming out of 21 days of prayer and fasting? What do we need to lean into coming out of this season of seeking God? And so we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 28. We're actually going to read two passages of scripture. And I'm going to ask you just to stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And then we're going to flip over to John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. So two scriptures that I want to look at today. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Matthew 28, 19 says this. Go. Everybody say go. Everybody say go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. Some of y'all need to hear that word, if nothing else, because some of y'all feel alone. I'm here to let you know Jesus said, I will be with you, not just some of the time, all the time, always, to the end of the age. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42 says this. The next day, John, meaning John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him being Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Family, as we close out this series, Tapped In, I want to preach from this theme and thought today. And I need you to tell the person that you're standing next to my sermon title, tell them, hey, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm on a mission. Come on, find somebody else. Tell them, hey, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm on a mission. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word to come, God. Would you stir our hearts? Would you cause it to run over on the inside, your word? God, would it yield the fruit in us that you desire it to yield? We pray that you would root out distractions, anything that would get in the way of us hearing your pure and holy word in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. Amen. I'm on a mission. Family, one of the things that I've been talking about these past few weeks, even though it has concluded over a few weeks ago, is like many of us, I was watching the Olympics. And one of the things that is so intriguing to me about the Olympics is the fact that it only comes every 4 years. It's only every 4 years where people are competing on the highest stage of their sport, so to speak. It's only every 4 years where the whole entire world is gathering together for this massive, almost 2.5 week sporting event. But what's so intriguing about this, y'all, is that athletes of all kinds, track and field, swimming, water polo, now they got skateboarding, will work and discipline themselves for 4 years to participate into something that may only last a few seconds or a few minutes. For 4 years, they are monitoring their diets. For 4 years, they're monitoring their workout regimen. For 4 years, they're disciplining themselves at the opportunity to be able to be at the stage, the highest stage of their sport, to be able to receive either a bronze medal, a silver medal, or a gold medal. And when I think about that, the question that comes to mind is, man, how can you have this type of, if you will, stick-to-itiveness and discipline for 4 years? Every day you're working out, two a day sometimes. Saying no to ice cream, my God. Come on, some of y'all like, I wouldn't have made it already, Pastor. Saying no to tacos, come on. Saying no to pizza. Disciplining your body. And it comes down to this, they have a mission in mind. Because when you got a mission in mind, you move different, you talk different, you think different, you eat different, you sleep different. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because in the morning, when you wake up, you are on a mission to get to work. So you move with a purpose. It's not a whole lot of time for talking. It's not a whole lot of time for pleasure. Matter of fact, some of y'all got a terrible mood in the morning. Like, don't talk to me at all. Because I'm focused. Because you got a mission. I got to get to work. I got things that I got to do. And here's what I've recognized. That when you are so driven by a mission, it impacts how you function. It impacts what you do. It impacts what you don't do. And when I think about that, it connects so much with Matthew chapter 28. Because here in Matthew chapter 28, what's happening is as Jesus is preparing, following his resurrection, to ascend back to heaven. The Bible says some of his last words that he gave his disciples are vital. But what's interesting is the backdrop is that the disciples have now witnessed their resurrected Messiah, the one who was crucified on Friday, and now the one who's been resurrected and raised early on Sunday morning. He's appeared to them, he's appeared to hundreds, others more, and he is preparing to go to heaven. And more than likely, the disciples are trying to figure out, now that we've seen this incredible act, what's next? What do we do with this? What do we do now in light of what it is that we've experienced? What do we do? How do we move forward? Is Jesus going to turn over the Roman government? And is Jesus going to go in there and do some crazy flipping of the tables? Is he going to go and become the new Caesar? And it's interesting because none of those things happen, but instead something different happens. But nonetheless, they're perplexed, trying to figure out what it is that's next. Matter of fact, earlier in that same scripture in Matthew 28, it says that some worship Jesus while some doubt it. Trying to figure out what it is that we're supposed to be doing. In other words, there is not a clear sense of direction that they have right now. And when I think about the disciples in this particular condition, many people, I believe, just like the disciples, are living life with no sense of direction. Not having an idea of what it is that we're supposed to do. And can I let you know this? When you don't have a sense of direction, it will lead to distraction and eventually destruction. When you and I don't have a focus, when you and I don't have a sense of direction and where we're going, we will end up everywhere. If you just hop in the car today and just said, I'm just going to drive, you're going to burn your gas, you're going to waste your time, and there's a potential that you might miss some things that you need to actually make. Because when we don't have a sense of direction, and a sense, if you will, let me say it like this, a sense of purpose, then now it leads us into this place of wandering in life. One of the most Googled phrases in all of Google, in all of the Googling, do you know what it is? What's my purpose? Meaning this, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And one of the things that's intriguing in our culture and our time is that people will spend thousands of dollars trying to figure out the significance of their life, trying to figure out how to make their life count, trying to figure out how to make a difference. Matter of fact, many, unfortunately, even get to the end of their life and look back only to discover that they wasted so many years, let me say it like this, living aimlessly rather than living purposely. Many people get on their deathbed and realize that my life was supposed to be more than just making a whole lot of money. It was supposed to be more than just having all the big houses and all the accomplishments. They get to the end of their life where they kind of recognize that all the things that have accumulated, has it really made a difference? And I think some of us are here today online and in person, and you've been trying to figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing with your life. This goes beyond a job. This goes beyond deciding who to be with. This goes beyond having goals of all kinds. Let me help you understand something in case you didn't know this. Your purpose is not your job. The 9-to-5 job that you work or the overnight shifts that you work, that's not your purpose, fam. That's what you do. That's not who you are. I'm gonna be real with y'all today. This message right here is one that's like burning on the inside of me. So it's not gonna be a whole lot of polish. It's gonna be a whole lot of passion today. Can I just talk to you like I'm just talking to you in the grocery store? So if you hear me using slang like, yo, fam, all that, it's because we just at Walmart right now. We're not at church. And a lot of people think that, man, if I make more money, that's the purpose of my life. If I have a bigger family, that's my purpose. That's not your purpose, because you can lose the money and you can lose the family. Having a bigger car, that's not your purpose. You can lose the car. And if I can lose those things, then what it really means is that's not what I'm supposed to be building my life on or living out of. And a lot of times what happens is people don't know their purpose. And so now what happens is you attach yourself to all different types of things. Your purpose is not that relationship. Because if it crumbles, now what? Your purpose is not to make a lot of money. Because when you don't, what happens? Let me flip it. When you do, what happens? Some of you are like, Pastor, what happens is I'm going to get a bigger house. I'm going to get a bigger car. I'm going to retire early. But you can have all that stuff and still not be satisfied on the inside. And still feel empty. And still not have a sense of direction. And many find themselves in these moments, but still don't know what they're supposed to be pointing their lives to. And the disciples, like many of us, are sometimes wondering what it is that I'm supposed to be doing with my life. But I want to give you good news if you find yourself in here, because I know about half of us in this room don't have an idea of what we're supposed to be spending our lives doing. And I want to let you know, I'm not condemning you for that, because I've been there and I know what it feels like. I actually have compassion for all of us, because I think all of us at some juncture in our life have been trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? When I came to college back in 03, y'all, I had a major, but I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be doing this. But they say it's going to make a lot of money, so I'm going to do it anyway. Only to get to the end of my second semester, freshman year, on academic probation. And I quickly recognize, this is not my purpose. Sometimes you got to have failure to recognize, this ain't it, fam. Sometimes it takes you losing something to recognize that that's not what you're supposed to be building your life on. But the good news is, we don't have to wonder what the totality of our lives is to be spent on, because Jesus gives us a purpose. And he gives us a sense of direction of what to do with our lives. That's the good news of Jesus, y'all, is that with Jesus, I don't have to wonder what my purpose is supposed to be. With Jesus, I don't have to go on some self-discovery. No. All he wants us to do is to tap in with him. Because when we tap in with him, we begin to find out why he created us in the first place. Come on, this is why Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. He says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5. He says, I set you apart before you were born. Then he says, I appointed you, he's talking to Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations. In other words, here's what he's saying. Jeremiah, before you were even a thought in your mama and daddy's mind, you were already a thought in my mind. And before they had an idea of what you were going to do, I already had designed something unique for your life. You don't have to wonder what you called to do. All you got to do is tap in with me. And here in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, here's what we see. We see Jesus giving his disciples, who are now apostles, which means messenger, a sense of direction and a sense of purpose for what they are to spend their lives doing, which also has implications for us. And I want us to look at it again. Well, watch what he says in verse 19, Matthew 28. Here's what he says. Go, therefore, and make disciples. What is a disciple, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. A disciple is a student, a follower, a learner. It is someone who follows a teacher of some sort so close. Back in the Jewish times, back in Jesus' times, there was often this saying of walking in the dust of the rabbi, that you were walking so close to your teacher that the dust from him, from his sandals kicking up on dirt roads, would get on you because you're following that close. So a disciple is meant to be somebody who follows their teacher close. Lee, what is Jesus saying he wants us to do and want his people to do? He says, I want you to help other people get as close to me as possible. Why do people need to get close to Jesus? Because it's in Jesus where there is found salvation and forgiveness. Because in Jesus, there is a family called the church. Because in Jesus, there is joy. Because in Jesus, there is satisfaction. Because in Jesus, there is peace. Because in Jesus, there is provision. Because in Jesus, there is protection. And I believe that many of you all here today can identify with the fact that since you've gotten close to Jesus, and since Jesus has gotten close to you, since you've become a follower of His. Since you have become a Christian, since you've become a disciple, your life has been changed. I'm not saying it's been perfect, but it's been changed. Since you've gotten close to Jesus, your relationships were turned around. Miracles can have happened in your life. Peace has begun to come in your life. Joy has begun to come in your life. Freedom has begun to come in your life. And I want to know at the 9 a.m. service, is there anybody here that's glad about the fact that when you were far from Jesus, Jesus came close to you? Come on, somebody. That when you were lost and when you had no sense of purpose and no sense of direction, Jesus stepped in. Jesus opened the door. Jesus brought forth a miracle. That when I was far, He came close. Matter of fact, here in Matthew 28, it even says this: Jesus came near to them and He told them, "All authority has been given to me." I love this because it helps us to see that no matter how distant you feel from God, you are not far enough to where He can't reach you. Some of y'all need to hear that today, because based upon some decisions that you've made in life and based upon some things that you've done or haven't done, you feel as if God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. That's so far beyond the truth. I'm here to let you know that God loves you more than you can ever imagine. He loves you so much. Pastor, how can you say He loves me so much in the midst of the things that I've done, in the midst of the sin that I've committed, in the midst of me being disobedient to His word? I know this because Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. In other words, while you and I were toe up from the flow up, old school make you want to throw up, when you and I weren't thinking about Jesus, God was always thinking about us. And way before you were even born, Jesus, the Bible says, was slain from the foundation of the world. Thank God that God loves us with an everlasting love that's not based upon what we do, but it's based upon who He is. And because Jesus loves us, He loves us so much that He not only wants us to be close to Him, He wants us to experience the purpose that He has for us. And here's what I also know. If you are a disciple of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, here's what I know about every single person in here without maybe knowing all of us. You didn't get close to Jesus on your own. I know some of us in here got this mantra, "I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps." Well, who made the bootstraps in the first place? I put in this work. I did this. I. Who gave you the ability to do it in the first place? Who blessed you in the first place? You and I aren't here because of things that we've done our own. We are here because of the goodness, and we are here because of the grace of God. And that goodness of God and grace of God has oftentimes been revealed through the people of God. Matter of fact, many of you are here today simply because somebody invited you, shared a link to a sermon to you. He used somebody more than likely to bring you close to Jesus. Somebody was praying for you and you didn't even recognize it. Somebody brought you to church. Somebody was a blessing to you. Somebody encouraged you. Somebody sent you an encouraging text message. You are not here on your own. You are not in relationship with Jesus Christ because of something that you have done. No, God has been so good that He's used other people to bring you into relationship with Himself. And do you know what Jesus is saying? I want you to do that for somebody else. Run it back. As I have done this for you through somebody else, do the same for someone else. And as I mentioned the past few weeks, we've been talking about being tapped into God's people and God's presence and God's power. But today's message is all about you understanding this, tapping into God's purpose. Which is why we talked about having power last week, because you can't function in His purpose without power, which is why earlier here in Matthew 28, He says, "All power and all authority has been given to me. Therefore now, go make disciples. Because I got all power, I'm giving you power to do this." And because of this now, Jesus says, "I want you to tap into the purpose that I have." Many theologians oftentimes call what's happening here in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, is oftentimes referred to as the Great Commission. It's a great commission because that word commission means to send out. And He's sending out His followers on a mission. Everybody say mission. To reach as many people for Him so that people can know Him. Can I let you know what your main purpose here on earth is to do? Can I let you know what God has created, why He's left you here on earth? Because if God really was done with you, when you got saved, He would have called you to heaven. But if you're still here, that means you got a purpose. And do you know what that universal purpose is? The purpose that is the same for every single person in here who calls themselves a Christ follower, no matter what your color is, no matter where you work, no matter how much money you make, no matter which neighborhood you live in. Do you know what your purpose is? It's to bring people into the kingdom. That's it. Now, within that, everybody has a unique purpose, meaning that there's some specific things that God has equipped us to do to be able to fulfill that universal purpose. So he's uniquely gifted some of you all to work in the educational sector, but the mission is still the same. Make disciples while you're there. But Pastor, I can't stand my coworkers. But those coworkers have been placed there, and they've been made in a likeness and image of God, and Jesus loves them just like he loves you. The family that you are in, do you think that's by accident? It's by design. But family, but Pastor, my family gets on my nerves. My family's kind of crazy. I got a crazy uncle for real, for real. Can I let you know that Jesus died for him too? And Jesus wants to use you to reach them? Do you think it's a coincidence that every time at Christmas dinner and at Thanksgiving, they always ask you to pray? Because they recognize something. And God has strategically placed you there to draw people into his kingdom. And Jesus says this, I love it. He says, go make disciples, not just disciples, but disciples, watch the text, of all nations. Can we bring it up on the screen? People of all nations. Everybody say nations. Here's what this word means in that Greek translation. It means all ethnicities. It means all people groups. It means all types of people. It means this, that no matter what the color is, no matter what the gender is, no matter who they are, that the gospel, Jesus Christ, is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live. There is not a premium on the gospel. No, it is for every single person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, thank God, is for everybody. Thank God that Jesus doesn't pick and choose who he's going to show grace to. Thank God that he doesn't pick and choose who he's going to be a blessing to. Thank God. And I want you to understand this, that the gospel's for everybody. We got a mission to reach everybody. And Jesus gives the disciples, but ultimately the church at large and locally, this mission to bring people into the family of God by proclaiming what Jesus accomplished through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, through his burial, through his ascension. He's called his people to be people who are instrumental in leading people to him. But unfortunately, many believers don't do this. We haven't tapped into that purpose. Matter of fact, I like what theologian Dallas Willett says. He says this, I want you to write this down, you can take a screenshot of it. He says this, that the Great Commission has become the great omission. The very thing that Jesus has called his people to do is the very thing that the people of Jesus are not doing. Matter of fact, there was a study done by Lifeway Research where they polled about 3,000 different Christians, and they found these statistics. They said this, that 80% of people who attend church once or twice a month believe that they should share their faith with others. 75% feel comfortable sharing their faith. Watch this. 61% have not shared their faith with anybody. 48% have not invited anyone in the past 6 months. And 20% rarely or never pray for people who are not Christians. In other words, y'all, there is an epidemic in the body of Christ where people are not doing the very thing that Jesus called them to do, which means if 60% of people are not functioning the way Jesus called them to, that means there's 60% of people who are not operating according to the purpose on their lives. No wonder we got so much craziness happening in our world. When I see stuff popping off in culture, I told you I'm at Walmart talking to you right now, I'm at church. When I see stuff popping off in culture, everybody all of a sudden wants to start throwing stones and this, that, and the third. And I start to ask the question, man, where are the Christians at though? Where are the believers at? Because we called to be salt of the earth and light of the world. We actually have the lights. And last time I checked, when you turn a light on, darkness gotta go. So maybe the reason why there's so much darkness is because the people that got the light are hiding it in their pockets. Then we turn on the news and trying to figure out, man, why is there so much crime happening? Because the believers of Jesus Christ are sitting here watching it, not doing something about it. Why are there so many families in our community that are struggling? It's because believers aren't using the resources that God has actually given them to leverage so that way the kingdom can be advanced by meeting the people's needs. Because it's much easier to criticize an issue than to contribute to one. And unfortunately, what's happened in the body of Christ at large is that believers have become spectators instead of contributors. Spectators. Let me just come to church and get everything that God has for me. Oh my gosh, Yeshua. Oh my gosh, we worship you. Oh my gosh. Woo. I got my worship feel for the week. Now I just go live my life any old way Monday through Saturday, only to come back in church and do it again on Sunday. Can I help you understand something? When you get filled up in here, it ain't for you. If he fills you up in here, it's for you to pour that thing out so that the world can taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I say this respectfully? So because we have not operated in this, some of us are spiritually obese, where we filled up so much on the bread of life with the word of God, but we have not done what Paul says in Philippians 2, worked out our salvation with fear and trembling by sharing the gospel with other people. We're hoarding it for ourselves and still wondering why the world is hungry. So whenever you see epidemics of poverty, there's so much hunger in the world physically. Can you imagine how much hunger there more, how much more hunger in the world there is spiritually? But we got the bread of life, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is giving his disciples this command and this commission. Go make disciples. This wasn't a suggestion, y'all. This was a command. This wasn't, hey, if you feel like making disciples, when it's convenient. Hey, boys, I know y'all got a lot going on. I know y'all got fishing businesses and all that, you know. But when you get around to it, would you mind just telling somebody about me? I don't want to impose on your schedule, you know. I know you got a whole lot going on. But when you have time, would you just consider, Jesus like, uh-uh, fam, I don't care what you're doing. Go make disciples. I don't got time for it, so? It's not part of my schedule, so? You make a part of your schedule what's important to you. And what's important to Jesus is people, souls, people being brought into the kingdom of God. And so the question sometimes that we wrestle with, though, many of us, I believe in here, even here in our church and online, many of us got the heart of, man, I want to bring people into the kingdom. I believe that. I believe all of us in here, under the sound of our voice, I believe that we got that passion, that many of us have that passion. But I think the question is, I don't know how to do it. So, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. You sweating, you yelling, all this. I'm down. I need practical. How? How do I do this? Like, how? Because it sounds so daunting and it sounds so challenging. And when I think about how, I can't think of a better way to understand how and to see, help us to see this. But then by looking back at John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, because in this story, we see a very simplistic picture of how to bring somebody to Jesus through a guy by the name of Andrew. Now, Andrew is somebody in the Bible, y'all, that many people aren't too familiar with. Who we're familiar with is Simon Peter. Because it's the same Simon Peter that said, Jesus, even if everybody else deny you, I won't ride or die. Bad boys for life, bad boys forever. But the minute that the pressure turned up, all of a sudden, Peter get brand new on Jesus and denies him three times and runs. But it was also the same Peter that later on was restored by Jesus, and he was used by Jesus in Acts chapter 2, where he preached, y'all, and 3,000 people got saved in one day. The church went from a few hundred to thousands in a day. If you got a problem with a big church, number one, you're going to have a problem with heaven. Because the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to grow. God is a father, and he wants his family to grow. And Peter was somebody that was used by Jesus to do great things, preaching, and thousands got saved. Preaching, and later on in Acts chapter 3, as they're getting ready to go on worship, and it was a guy sitting at this gate, and he was paralyzed. And Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I freely give. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And homie got up and did the crip walk that day. I'm talking like the Bible says he was worshiping and dancing. I wonder if he's in 2024, if he's doing the gritty, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder what he's doing. And people probably looking at him just like you looking at me. What is wrong with this dude? He was paralyzed most of his life, but all of a sudden he got the strength to be able to walk. Jesus has stepped in. So many people are familiar with Peter, but not many people are familiar with his brother, Andrew. And without Andrew, there probably is no Peter. Without Andrew, there probably doesn't come to a time where we see Peter being used by God in a great way. And being on mission to bring people to Jesus is something that we see often in Scripture. And this passage helps us to see these few truths that I want us to see. We see Andrew, the Bible says he was once following John the Baptist. John the Baptist was this prophet that God used to, and raised up to be what many call the forerunner to Jesus. He was always pointing to the coming Messiah. I love this because John's ministry was constantly blowing up, but never did he keep the attention on me. He was always pointing to the one who was to come. His main focus of preaching and teaching was not on John the Baptist. It wasn't come see me. No, it was come hear about Jesus, the one who is to come. And here in John chapter 1, Jesus pulls up. And then John multiple times says, look. Some of y'all are like, is he pointing to me right now? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then later on, around chapter 1, verse 35, he says it again when Jesus pulls up. He says, look, the Lamb of God, the promised Messiah, the Savior of humanity. And in this passage, as Jesus is near, John and Andrew and others, John is pointing their attention not to himself. He's pointing it to Jesus. And the Bible says immediately the two disciples who were with John, one of them being Andrew, left John to follow Jesus. John was pointing Andrew to Jesus. And now Andrew is about to do the same for somebody else. John and Andrew were both on a mission. They were tapped into God's purpose. And you know what that was? Point people to Jesus. Matter of fact, John says it like this in John 33. He must increase, meaning Jesus, and I must decrease. Here's what John is saying. It ain't about me, fam. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not about what I can do. It's about what he's ultimately come to do. And for these last few moments, I want us to see these things that happen in the text that Andrew does to help us to understand what does it mean to be on mission for Jesus? What does it mean to be somebody who makes disciples, a follower? What does it mean to influence people and to encourage people and to help people tap into the person of Jesus Christ? Here's what I want to encourage you to see. Number one is this, that when it comes to being on mission for Jesus, it means being tapped into his purpose, which means this, being intentional. Everybody say, be intentional. Notice what verses 38 through 41 says. Says these words. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, what are you looking for? They, meaning Andrew and the other disciples, said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Verse 39, I love this. Jesus says, come and you'll see. He replied. So they went and saw where he was staying. Can I let you know this? Jesus is constantly reaching out to you and I and says, come and see. Come and see the great things that I have in store for your life. Come and see the blessings that I want to give you. Come and see the forgiveness that I have for you. Come and see the grace that I have for you. Many of you in here today, you felt some condemnation maybe all week because of some things that's been going on and the enemies have been trying to discourage you. Some of y'all were discouraged even to come to church today because you're like, if I go in that church, I'm going to get struck down by lightning because of all this stuff. I'm here to let you know that's not how God's disposition is. He's actually saying, come and see. And matter of fact, all throughout the book of John, you see the phrase constantly used when Jesus was resurrected. The angels were at the tomb and Mary and some of the other women were trying to figure out what was going on. And the angel said, come and see. Come check it out. Come see where he lay his head. He is risen. He's not dead anymore. He was here, but now he's risen. He's alive. He's gone out of this grave. Come and see. And constantly, Jesus is beckoning you and I to come and see. Come to me. He says this in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Some of y'all in here are tired physically, emotionally, mentally. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Come to me, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus is constantly bringing us to him. And now, he says, as I have brought you close to me, and you've tasted my goodness, go now and do that for somebody else by being intentional. So notice what the Bible says next. It was about 4 PM. They stayed with him in the afternoon all day. Verse 40, it says, Andrew, Simon's Peter, was one of the two who had heard John and followed him. Watch verse 41. He first found his own brother, Simon. What does this help us to see? That he intentionally went to Simon. He didn't wait for Simon to come to him. He went to Simon. He wasn't passive in waiting. He wasn't waiting. He wasn't, quote unquote, waiting for the right opportunity. He said, no, the opportunity is now. Today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. He did it now. And it reminds us of the scripture in Matthew 28 that we read earlier that Jesus would ultimately give sometime later after what's happening here in John chapter 21. The first words that Jesus says is what? Go. And what Andrew does is he goes to Simon. And the principle I want us to understand is that we ought to be intentional with engaging the people around us. We ought to be available to people around us. We are not called to avoid people. No, we are called to go to people. But Pastor, I'm not a people person. Can I say this respectfully? So what? When you recognize that you have something that can change somebody's life forever, get over the insecurities. Matter of fact, if you lean into the grace of God where you are weak, He will be strong. In your going, there will be a strengthening that takes place. So He says, go. So the question I'm going to ask you is this. Who are the people around you and me right now that need Jesus? Come on, y'all know who they are because you say it all the time. This person needs Jesus. Oh my gosh, my boss, they get on my nerves. They need Jesus, man. They send me one more email with something else to do. Y'all don't pay me enough for this. Y'all need Jesus. That's why you're there. He put you there. And I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again. Some of us have been asking, God, would you release me from my job, please? Because these people are crazy. And I wonder if God say, I'm not releasing you yet because you have not fulfilled the purpose yet. Don't nobody even know at that job that you go to church. Don't nobody at the job even know you know anything about Jesus. And you've been working there for years. You just go in and clock out. I'm just here so I don't get fined. No, that's not why you're there. He strategically placed you there, even if it's not a job that you signed up for. God still wants to use it to draw people into His kingdom. So He wants you to be intentional. Go to them. Go to them. If you're a student on college campus, go to your friends. Go to your roommates. Who are the people right now in your life that need Jesus and His love? And family, can I let you know this? When the bridge was planted some years ago, it wasn't for people who know Jesus. It was really for people who don't know Jesus. It was for people who are hurting. It was for people who were lost and are lost. This is why the church exists in the world, to be a light to a dark place. Yes, the church is the people of God, but the people of God have received a mission from God. And that mission from God is to go reach people who don't know Him and to bring people into His kingdom. I want to say it like this, and I want you to write it down. Jesus doesn't call people to come to us. He calls us to go to people. He calls us to go and reach people. And reaching people doesn't happen by sitting back, but by stepping out. I don't reach people by staying in my own little Christian bubble, Wakanda forever. No, I reach people by going to where they are. I reach people by being intentional with going to them. We will not be shy. We will not be silent, but we will go. Pastor, why do we go to people? Because isn't that what Jesus intentionally did for us? Isn't what Jesus did for us was Him coming down from heaven through 42 generations? He left the golden gates and thrones of heaven, if you will, and He came down to a broken humanity because He knew that that broken humanity could not come to Him on their own, but because He's filled with love and mercy and grace, He came down. He went to you and I. Thank God that Jesus was intentional to come to us. And He says, as I've done for you, do this also for others. Here's what you're supposed to do. You should be, and I should be, running to the opportunity to find people who don't need to know Jesus. But not just be intentional. Here's the second thing I want to give us. We should be investing. Everybody say, be investing. Notice what verse 41 says. The Bible says this. He first found his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. Why is this so important? Because for years, the people had been waiting for the promised Messiah. They were hungry for this moment. And Andrew has experienced Jesus himself. And now he has gone to Simon intentionally, but not just intentionally, but now he's gone to him to tell him some news that would literally change the trajectory of his life. Andrew shares the most important discovery of his life with his brother. Meaning this, he took the time to find his brother to tell him about something that could also change his life. He's almost like, yo, bro, I found him. And he's told me everything. You know the one that we've been waiting on? You know the one that our parents was telling us about? You know the one that we've read in the sacred Torah? You know the one that the prophets talked about? You know the one that the Psalms talk? He's here, fam. We've been with him. We've experienced him. And the first thing that he does is he wants to go tell his brother and invest in his brother about it. And I believe that this is something easy for us to do and us to understand, because we do this all the time. When you experience something that's incredible, you want to go post about it, tell somebody about it, make a video about it. If you try out a new restaurant and they got incredible food, you're like, yo, fam, if you want some seafood, go here. If you want a banging crab cake, go here. Fam, if you really want some good pasta with unlimited breadsticks, Olive Garden is the way to go. Because we've tasted and seen for ourselves. And it compels us to want to go do that and share that with others. What Jesus is saying, that should be the same thing that you do with other people when it comes to your walk with me. You've tasted and seen my goodness in your own life. Don't hold it to yourself. Go share it. Which means this, we are to be a people who invest in the lives of others by sharing the love and the message of Jesus with them, because it has power to change their lives. This is why Paul says it like this, and it's one of my heart scriptures right here, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek. In other words, Paul is saying, it's for everybody, fam. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This gospel saved my life. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This gospel can save a marriage. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This gospel can bring purpose. I'm not ashamed of this. He says, I'll go to the grave talking about it. Matter of fact, Paul did. He was beheaded because of the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. Which means this, that you and I ought to be a people who invest the gospel with others, to demonstrate the love of the gospel by adding value to people's lives, by caring for people. You've heard the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We're to be people who care about people, who pray for other people, who are blessing other people, who are generous towards other people. We are to be people who are adding and bringing hope to people. We are to be a people who bring good news to people in a bad news type of world. We are to be people who bring light and levity to people's lives, who are weighed down by stress and anxiety and worry and doubts. Can I let you know this? God is sending you to invest in the people. He's sending you to pour into people, to care for people. Can I let you know this? Everywhere you go is what I like to call a mission field for the kingdom. I don't care where you are. So for me, one of my main mission fields is the gym. Working out, lifting weights, playing basketball. And during this time, y'all, I'm having conversations with people. And I'm talking with people, and I'm getting to know people, and we're sharing different stories, and y'all, it's gotten so much to the point where God has really given a lot of grace in that area, y'all, where there's been conversations that I've had with people on the basketball court that have led to them becoming a part of this church. They were getting jumpers in their face from me on the court, and now they're getting Jesus here. I'm trying to be real careful because some of them are here right now, and they're probably mad, like, I can't believe you did that, Pastor. What am I trying to help us understand? That wherever you plant your feet is an opportunity to plant the gospel. Wherever you go, your job is a mission field. Your family is a mission field. Your neighborhood is a mission field. Your community is a mission field. Your class is a mission field. Your roommates, mission field. Your team is a mission field. By all means, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying people are projects. They are not. They are people who need to be loved. And one of the greatest ways that you can love them is by investing in them. That's what Andrew did for Simon. He says, bro, I found him. I got good news. But Pastor, I don't know everything about the scriptures. I don't know everything about the Bible. Can I let you know this? You don't have to. I like what Pastor Brian Liberate says. He says, God doesn't need you to be his lawyer. He needs you to be his witness. He doesn't need you to be the defense attorney for the gospel. No, he wants you to be a witness. A witness of what? A witness tells a story that they've experienced. A witness tells something that they have seen. He wants you to go tell people the goodness that you've seen him do in your life. Tell people how you've seen God show up in the doctor's room when they said there was no way for it to happen. Tell people how God protected your family when it should have taken them out. Tell people how God opened up a door and made ways out of no ways. Tell people what you've seen him do. That's what a witness is meant to be. And I want you to understand this. It's not about trying to win arguments. He hasn't called us to win arguments. He's called us to win people. Because you can win an argument and lose the person. It's not about that. It's about demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ. Here's the last thing I want to give us, that it's not just about being intentional. It's not just about being one who invests. But here's the other thing that we see in this text. We are to be inviting. Everybody say invite. Notice what verse 42 says that Andrew does. After he finds his own brother Simon, verse 42 it says, and he brought Simon to Jesus. He brought Simon to Jesus. He invited Simon to have an encounter with Jesus. I love this, y'all. Because if there's one thing I want to be said about me, I want it to be said about me that Edwin brought such and such to Jesus. If the Bible writers were writing about my life through highs and lows and peaks and valleys, one thing that I want them to be able to say is that Edwin brought his family to Jesus. He brought friends to Jesus. He brought foes to Jesus. I want to be known as somebody who's bringing somebody into the kingdom. And family, can I let you know this? If Andrew doesn't bring Simon to Jesus, then Peter never gets connected to Jesus. Simon never gets connected to Jesus. And Simon never goes through a transformation, even down to his name, where he was once called Simon. But as we see here in this text, now he's called Peter. And if Peter doesn't experience this encounter with Jesus Christ because Andrew brings him here, then 3,000 people don't give their lives to Jesus Christ. If Peter doesn't have this moment where he's been brought to Jesus by Andrew, then the man who was crippled at the gate back in Acts chapter 3 is not able to get up and have his sins forgiven. I'm here to let you know that the only reason why Peter is who he is today is because he had a brother named Andrew who brought him to Jesus. Because true discipleship, family, has a domino effect. Someone invites someone else, which leads to that person inviting someone else. Can you write this down? Your invitation is an act of obedience that can lead to someone else's transformation. Y'all, there is so much power in simply inviting somebody. Inviting somebody to church, inviting somebody to a connect group, inviting somebody to something like a bless the block. Y'all, lives get changed when an invitation happens. Matter of fact, personally, my life was changed simply because of the invitation, because it was a friend of our family that invited my mom and myself when I was about 7 years old to a play to a church called Judgment Day, where they were talking about standing before God and whether or not you said yes to Jesus or not and the consequences of both. Y'all, by the end of that play, I'm running down to the altar saying, I want to know Jesus. And the reason why that happened was because we had a friend named Dina who invited us to church. All because of an invitation. I was invited to a summer youth camp with my youth pastor when I was going through some challenges as a student in high school, straying away from God. But that invitation to be with him for a whole summer and to go with him where he preached all over the state of Virginia and all up and down the East Coast in the summer of July, when I'm in the back of this big old youth conference that he's preaching at, and the word of God is gripping my heart and God is drawing me back to himself. After I kind of strayed away a little bit, it all happened because of an invitation. Do not downplay an invitation. What's the principle? I want us to understand that we ought to be intentional about extending an invitation for people to encounter Christ. And y'all, it's not even that hard. Matter of fact, here at our church, we make it real simple. We got things like this right here, an invite card. Right out in the hallway. Matter of fact, I want to encourage every single person here, get three of them things. Invite people to church next week. And if they try to debate you, I ain't really into the church thing. Hey, just check it out. Just check it out. I don't really know what I should wear. Wear whatever you want. Don't matter. I'm not really a morning person. It's all good. You can watch online. I'm not really a people person. That's cool. You can sit in the back of the church. We'll put some rope around you so nobody messes with you. Because we want to help people see that they need Jesus for eternal life and everyday life. I want to close with this because one of the things that has been the heartbeat of our church for so many years is this thing right here. This great commission. This message of the gospel and inviting people in. For 10 years, y'all, our church has been built on this singular purpose, and we've said it in many ways, But over the past few months, God has been really stirring my heart as I've been praying into it more as we come up on 10 years as a church. This coming up September, which is absolutely incredible to see what God has done in 10 years as a church, y'all. But God began to stir my heart and in many ways kind of begin to clarify that vision with even clearer words, and myself and our team, we've been talking about it, and God brought me back to this whole aspect of the name of our church and took me on this journey himself. I remember one day in the office, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, hey, what is a bridge? I said, okay, a bridge. It's something that connects two things that are distant. Well, that's a picture of the gospel, because you and I were separated from God because of our sin. But Jesus, who says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, nobody comes to the Father except through me, bridged the gap between man and humanity, which is why on the cross is two beams, not just a vertical beam, but a horizontal beam. It's almost as if Jesus is holding the hand of God in one hand, and he's holding the hand of humanity in another, and he becomes the bridge in which we can cross over. So Jesus is the bridge who bridges the gaps. Because in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Here's what Jesus is saying. You think about a branch and a vine. If the branch stays connected to the vine, it produces fruit. But the minute that the branch is disconnected from the vine, the life of the vine is no longer flowing through the branch. And what Jesus is trying to help us to see is that when you are not connected to me, my life does not flow into your life, and you will not be the person that I've created and called you to be. But when you are connected to me, your life begins to bear much fruit, and more fruit, not just for you, but for the lives of other people. So when I think about just even our vision statement for so many years, back in 2014, our vision statement was this: to see people reconciled to God and one another. It's the heart of the gospel. But over these past few years, God's been stirring my heart. Hey, let's make that clear for people to understand. Make that more portable. Make it more powerful. Make it more simple. Using language of the bridge. Because everybody understands what it means to be connected. You know what it's like when your phone is disconnected from Wi-Fi. You get frustrated. Some of y'all mad right now because you have no connection in here. Oh, never got no connection in that church. Okay, nobody ever sent me a text message. You think that's by accident? I'm kidding. I promise you, I don't have nothing to do with that. But we understand power of connection. So what is our church supposed to be about? And this is kind of how we've reimagined now our vision statement, which is what we're going to be always saying. This is what our church is all about. You're going to hear us talking about this all the time. We're going to put merch with it, all this good stuff. It's really simple, and it's only seven words. But it captures the essence of Matthew 28 and John 15, that our church exists to see all people connected to Christ. All people connected to Christ. Every young person, every older person, every black person, every white person, every Asian person, every Latino person, no matter if you vote one way, no matter if you vote another way, it doesn't matter who you are. We want to see all people connected to Christ, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. So I'm here to let y'all know today, family, we are called to be a people who are in mission. What is our mission, family? Our mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ, family. Our mission and our purpose is to see more people come into the kingdom of God. And I just want to know, is there anybody here that's grateful for, number one, the fact that you're connected to Christ? Is there anybody grateful for the fact that we get a mission and we got a purpose to see more people come into the kingdom, to see family come into the kingdom, to see friends come into the kingdom, to see co-workers come into the kingdom? I want to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment. This is why we exist. I'm on a mission, fam. He wants us to be tapped in so much with this purpose that we breathe this, we sleep this, we eat this. That this is what I'm on. That the reason I wake up every single day is not to make a buck, it's to make a disciple and a difference. This is what I'm on. So it was funny because earlier this week we were talking about 6 a.m. prayer. Many of y'all were here 6 a.m. Some of y'all were not. So you're like, hey fam, I love Jesus, but that is too early. Well, I got work. I tapped in online. But one of the things that we're talking about is like energy level and like, man, how, you know, in the morning, it could be a little sluggish or whatever. but you still get up. And the thing that caused us to get up, I know for me, speaking, I can speak to nobody else, but the thing that compels me to give up, not give up and to get up, is thinking about what an opportunity it is to help people get connected to Christ. This is what I breathe and sleep and eat, obsess about it. How can I get my family to Jesus? How can I love them like Jesus? How can I serve neighbors like Jesus? I'm trying to get everybody in my gym saved, y'all. Y'all laugh, but I'm dead serious. Like, I'm in here lifting weights and we're talking about life and I'm bringing it to Jesus. Let me tell you about somebody who carried a weight. All day. In my car, I'm not telling y'all something that I don't do. In my car, it's loaded with these. Ask my wife, ask the kids. This is what we own. Because it's not about the bridge church. It's not about how big our church get. It's about how big the kingdom can get. That's what this is it. That's what it's about. So why do we do Bless the Block? To see all people connected to Christ. Why do we serve? To see all people connected to Christ. Why do we have worship experience? To see all people connected to Christ. Why do we have invite cards? To see all people connected to Christ. Why do we have Welcome Home Sunday? To see all people connected to Christ. That's it. And y'all, my prayer as your pastor is that this will be in your bloodstream. That we desire this, that we hunger for this, that we want to see our family members come to know Jesus, the people who are strung out on dope right now, knowing that if they come to Jesus, man, they can put down a needle and they can put down a bottle. We want them to know Jesus. That's what he's called us to be. Pastor, that's too much. Tell Jesus that, because he died for it. He was willing to get on the cross for it. And you know what he tells us? Just as I've done that, you do the same. Pick up your cross, follow me. As I laid my life down for you, I want you to lay your life down for yours around you. I'm on a mission, family. And our church is to be on a mission. Because I know for a fact how Jesus has changed my life. And I know many of your stories in here, he's changed your life as well. Can I let you know this? He wants to do the same for others around you. He's placed you there so that way you can help others come to know him. So what I want to do is with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. There's two action steps that I have for us today. Number one is this. For us who are believers, I pray that the Lord has convicted and stirred our heart to be a people who are on mission. But we don't live life for ourselves any longer. No, we live it for the King of Kings. We live it for him, not ourselves. Do you know what I've realized about God? The things that you're worried about yourself, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. If you focus on his stuff, seek first the kingdom. Everything else will be added, fam. That's what he wants you to do. So for those of us who are believers, call ourselves followers of Christ, he wants you to be a people who invites people to him. But for those of you who are here today, you don't know Jesus. You don't have connection to him. You don't know him as Lord and Savior. You're disconnected. Here's what he says in John 15, that with me you can bear much fruit, but without me you could do nothing. Here's what he's ultimately saying, plain language. Without Jesus, your life will not amount to anything at all. It won't have any fruit. It won't have any substance at all. It won't be any bit fulfilling whatsoever. But when you get connected to the true vine, you experience life and life more abundantly. Forgiveness of sins, renewal of hope, renewal of joy, being a part of the family of God, having a sense of purpose. If you're here today while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and you're saying, Pastor, I need to be connected to Jesus because I'm not. I've been coming to church, but I have not come to Christ. I've been connected to this church, but I haven't really said yes to Jesus. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, on the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three. Come on. This is the day to make that decision. You need to give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. You need to come into a relationship with him. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. This is the moment to say yes to Jesus. If you're online, this is for you as well. For every hand lifted, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I give you my life, and I receive yours in return. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church, can we say welcome home, and can we celebrate those who have said yes? Come on, can we make as much noise? Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you lifted up your hand, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I want to ask all of us and invite all of us to do this for the sake of those who have come to Christ today. Can you grab that white connection card in the seat pocket in front of you or in the seat that you're occupying? And I want you to grab that card. If you prayed that prayer, you're saying today, I want to be connected to Christ. I want you to fill out that connection card. Check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. I want you to fill that out. And at the end of service, take that to the blue tent outside. We got a gift that we want to give you. Our prayer team is going to be there. We want to welcome you. We want to serve you. We want to rejoice with you because you've made the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. Come on, church. Can we bless God for those who have said yes to Jesus Christ today? As Pastor Brian comes up to close us out, tell the person beside you, I'm on a mission. Come on, find somebody. Tell them I'm on a mission.